Mike Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. O beloved, what a privilege it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born again, and to be a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. So many wonderful, wonderful, rich blessings are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've been discussing spiritual blessings and spiritual gifts that are given to the child of God by the Holy Spirit of God. We've been discussing this from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we've been talking about the gift of prophecy. In verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. And so we've been discussing the Old Testament prophets and how that they were men of God that were given to proclaim the truth of God's Word, because they didn't have the Bible in those days. They didn't have the written Word of God like we have today. They may have had the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, but other than that, they didn't have all the books that we have today. And so God would use men to proclaim his warning and to proclaim his truth. Today, God's given us pastors, evangelists, teachers, to proclaim the truth of God's Word and to open up and unlock the Word of God to us, so that we might grow in the knowledge of the truth. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is, the Word of God strengthens and builds up and establishes our faith. And so we've been discussing and talking about the qualifications of a pastor, a man that God lays his hand upon to preach the Word, and what is the qualifications that are required for a man that God calls into the ministry. And we've been discussing those qualifications. But now I would like for us to turn to the message that the man of God is to preach and is to proclaim. Yes, he is to preach the whole counsel of God. He is to present the whole Word of God. But the first thing he shares is good news. Good news. And I would ask you, have you heard the good news, my friend? Untold millions have not heard the good news. Perhaps you or your friends have not heard. Maybe your neighbor has not heard the good news. So many have never heard the good news. The good news changed my life when I heard it and acted on it. Of course, there were others who shared it with me. Otherwise, there's no telling what I might be or where I might be. The good news resulted in my going to Hawaii in 1962. While living there, an eruption occurred in one of the volcanoes. The volcanoes of Hawaii are called the safest in the world because most are not explosive, but push out the lava at a rate so people can come and observe the eruptions. The airline companies have reservations of people who want to come and see eruptions, so when there is an eruption, the airline will notify the people, and they will fly in from distant lands to see the eruptions of the volcanoes. The eruption we saw occurred in the late 1960s. We drove to where it was occurring. We had to wait for about an hour to get to the place where we could observe it. It was in a crater called the Makaopuhi Crater. It was a rainy, cool day, so a jacket was required. The place where the eruption occurred had only a small area where you could walk up to a rock wall about waist high and look down into the deep hole where the molten magma was boiling. Once we arrived and walked to the wall where the area was flat enough to walk up close to the eruption, we looked down into a lake of melted rock that was heated over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. If you threw a piece of iron in it, it would have melted in a few seconds. The air was filled with the smell of sulfur, and cool air would begin to harden the surface of the melted rock. Then it would begin to sink down, and you would see a lake of fire. I will never forget the sight. The heat was so great one would break out into sweating and have to take off one's jacket. It was such an awesome sight as the smell and fumes went up into the air. It made me realize the lake of fire described in the Bible, where Satan and his demons will be cast, that it's a very real place and not an imaginary tale. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, and verse 41 states, "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Revelation 20:10. Yes, that everlasting lake of fire is prepared for Satan and his angels. And men, women, boys, and girls will go there only because they have rejected God's way of deliverance, God's way of salvation. This terrible, awful lake of fire, anyone who fell into the molten lava would die immediately. It was an awful thing to behold. You might ask, well, what does that have to do with good news? Well, I'm getting to that. I was a boy of only 5 years of age when I first heard the good news. You see, the good news is for everyone, and even a child can receive it when it's explained to them in simple terms. My mother was teaching a Sunday school class of boys and girls. She was using a book that did not have any words in it, but only colored pages. There was a gold page, a white page, a black page, a red page, and the booklet was green. I understand that a man named D.L. Moody was the first one to make the booklet and use it to tell the good news. And I want to share with you this booklet and begin to explain to you what this booklet pictured and what it represented. The first page was the gold page, and the gold page reminds us of a wonderful place called heaven. It's described as the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 through 22. And there let me read just a little portion of what the Bible tells us about this new heaven and the new earth. "And I saw," this is John, the apostle, one of the disciples of the Lord, that was writing these words under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Beautiful, a beautiful city. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Oh, yes, beloved, what an awesome and amazing city that he begins to describe here in Revelation chapter 21, the last book of the Bible. And here he describes this amazing and wonderful place. He goes on to tell us in chapter 22 and chapter 21, he tells us, let me see if I can find it here, in chapter 21 and 22. Where he tells us that in verse 22, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. This tree, the tree of life, bare 12 different types of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, in this city, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. Did you hear that, beloved? There shall be no night there. It'll never get dark. It'll be light for all eternity. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Notice that. No light will be required, no electricity will be needed, because there'll be no darkness. The glory of God will lighten it all, and there'll be no need of having to go to bed, having to go to sleep. There'll be no weariness, there'll be no weakness of the flesh caused by sin. Oh, what a glorious place! Until next time, goodbye.